Na-na. What's up, party people? What's going on? What's happening? Welcome. Welcome. I'm just going to talk to you tonight about something that most people don't struggle with. Most people don't struggle with this. Just going to be a little vulnerable here tonight with you. I'm going to share from my heart. I'm a grown man. I know you're thinking, Chris, we already know. You don't have to explain to us that you're a grown up. I need to explain this. See, I suffer from what's called, I think the way we could say it is I'm follically challenged. Okay? Now, I can grow hair on my head. It's crazy. And none of it's dyed, right? And the thing is, the longer my hair gets, the more curly it gets. So if I let this really go, then ultimately I'll have a fro to a degree. Now, it's not super tight curl, but I will say this, and this is something nobody in this generation can really understand, but in the 80s, for a brief period of time, there was a fad for guys to get almost like super, super tight permanence. Like, where was our parental intervention? Like, where were they? They let us do that to ourselves. I see Jennifer, you're on, and Sarah, great to see you. I don't know if you remember this, Jennifer, but Sean Powers, if I recall, he got a perm. I know I got a perm. Everybody seemed to be thinking this was a good idea. All I can say is thank God there was no video cameras back then recording what we all really looked like. I'm sure some parents took some pictures, but I don't know that I actually have any pictures of me with my tight fro. Whew, thank the Lord. My kids already make fun of me enough. So on the head, no problem. I can grow so much hair on my head. All right, no big deal, which is great. I'm happy. I think that came from my father, right? I think he's got a lot of hair. But I cannot grow a mustache or a beard if my life depended on it. Right now, I shaved tonight in the shower, and I can't see anything. So it's all goofed out. And why would I even keep this? It's so embarrassing. The facial hair is so embarrassing. Look at it. I look like I'm a 13-year-old. I've just reached puberty and all of a sudden I'm getting facial hair for the first time, but I'm 50. It's just ridiculous. It makes me upset. I look like a cocker spaniel. Sarah, I bet you looked fine. I bet you didn't look bad at all. Where are you going with this? Where I was going with this, the whole perm thing, was simply that I can't grow a beard. You would think the amount of hair I had on my head, and you know what, the perm, there was nothing to the whole perm story, except I got lost in the reality of doing that to myself. And I can remember it. But the whole facial hair thing is just, it's just tragic. It's a tragedy. I feel like I would question my masculinity, honestly. If I didn't have 9 children, I'd look at myself and I'd say, clearly, this is not a full-grown man. There's something wrong with him. Obviously, he can't grow facial hair. You know, there's some famous saints like the Capuchins. Padre Pio was a famous saint for the Capuchins. You're not allowed to shave. All I can think is, like, I would look like they would all, people would probably be looking at me all the time like, he's sick. There's something, like, wrong with him. He's got mange, and his beard is not working right. And then there are super, like, people, some people who are, like, super elitists when it comes to beard. I have some friends like this that they're like, it's almost like Jesus loves you better if you have beards. And I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I'm hoping that I can get some credit for this. But I'm going to say, I'm going to be so blunt. I know, Scott Anthony, I'm going to tell you this right now. Scott's way better than I am with the beard. I'm going to say something. It's a little edgy. And please forgive me, but it's 1:15 in the morning, and you should be able to handle this. This is going to be a little bit R-rated. I feel like this, I've got pubic hair growing on my chin. That's the kind of facial hair I have. It's not a beard. There's something drastically wrong with my body. All right, let's move on. Let's move on fast. Let's pretend that that didn't happen. I can't even, there's no way to edit this. You just get what you're gonna get tonight, okay? Felt like I needed to disclose to you that I recognize that the beard looks stupid, and I also recognize that I janked it up when I tried to go ahead and shave in the shower with no mirror. What could go wrong? Yeah, I would love a ZZ Top beard. That would be awesome. I've often thought I would look amazing with a beard because then I could cover up the double chin. That's the point of the freaking beard, to cover up the double chin. Duh. Nick, you got a great beard. All right, so as is normal with me, I want to talk about tonight two things that are really big deals in my life. You're going to think, your faith and your family? No. No. Really important stuff, like books and records. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And yes, of course, my faith, my family. And P.S., by the way, and absolutely, first and foremost, really, happy Easter. This is a big day, right? Amen. We went to Mass last night for the vigil. So we were in the zone. Today, Easter Sunday, was a great day for us. We stayed home. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Do you ever eat something or drink something and it reminds you of someone? Do you know what I'm saying? A few, I don't know, who knows when? I don't even know. I don't keep a record of this. I have literally no recollection of what I've actually said. But I did say something not too long ago where I talked about my first time trying Redman tobacco. Like, I can remember where I was at. That whole experience is like scarred in my brain. But my grandfather used to drink scotch pretty much morning, noon, and night. He was a salesman. So think Mad Men, but without the constant infidelity. My grandfather was a very successful salesman. Basically, they came up with a product, a sump pump of sorts that they sold to the military, and he made some good money. But he wined and dined all day long. And my grandfather, the joke for me that I always say is that my grandfather had a very unique and peculiar smell. And I think it was scotch. So he always smelled like scotch, probably. So every time I have a little, you know, whiskey or something, I will think of him. My grandmother's drink was vodka tonic. So every time I have that, I think of her. So it's kind of funny to me how, and there's a trend here. It seems like it's all alcohol, but that's just how my family rolled. You know what, Jennifer? I think I've seen your pictures of your son, and he has an awesome beard. He does. But since he was 12 or 13... That's unbelievable. Do you remember Big Bob? I think he probably had a beard when he was like 12 or 13. That kid was huge. Anyway, cheese pizza reminds me of... really? That's funny. What does cheese pizza remind me of? I don't know. I do like cheese pizza. It's funny, I've had so many pizzas in my life doing youth ministry work, you'd think I'd be sick of it. But I think my body now craves it. It thinks it's like a vitamin or a primary food source. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to something important here. Yes, facial hair is important, and so is growing a beard, obviously. And parents, you know, with children who can grow facial hair at, you know, very young ages, important. I get it, right? But Harrison says, dude, smells get me so... I don't even know what you mean, but I almost finished reading that out loud, and then I realized maybe I shouldn't read that out loud. So here we go. I wanted to show you a couple books, you guys, that are interesting. I have not read these yet, but they're the kind of books that immediately get my attention, and usually I'll end up snagging them. Most of the books that I'll get a hold of come from three places. We have a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, it's funny to me that it's still alive, you know, and well, but it does pretty good. Second place I get them from is like thrift stores, like Goodwill, Salvation Army, stuff like that. And finally, the last one is like used bookstores. So there's a couple amazing used bookstores in Syracuse. Obviously, I haven't been there in weeks and weeks and weeks, so I'm devastated, but I'm going to survive. So one of these I got at Goodwill, and the other I got at Barnes & Noble. I'm going to show you them first. All right, here's this one. The girl who could move shit with her mind. Jackson Ford. Everything about this book works for me. It feels great, and it's kind of got this rough cover, you know, easy to use, but just the title alone is just so funny for me. So that's one I'm going to jump on probably this year. This is another one. My wife just heard about this recently too. And I picked this up at a thrift store, a Goodwill, and it's called Confessions of a Prairie Bitch by Allison Arngrim. Now, the only people who are going to know who this person is are kids that are probably my age, okay? And Harrison, thanks for clarifying. So I loved Little House on the Prairie, and this is Nellie from Little House on the Prairie, who was literally the worst human being on the planet. She was horrible. Everybody hated her. Now, I watched that show faithfully, and I watched that show faithfully because Charles Landon, who played, you know, Mr. Ingalls, Michael Landon, excuse me. So it's Charles Ingalls. That's the character's name. And his name was Michael Landon. So Michael Landon, I always loved because Michael Landon looked like my dad, and my parents got divorced. So I would watch Little House on the Prairie, which is already what's already an emotional hardcore. I mean, I think their whole goal every week was like, let's get everybody to cry in America, basically. And they succeeded. It was like the equivalent of This Is Us, you know, for us growing up in the 70s. But I heard this girl is pretty funny, and she, yeah, it's a great title, Jennifer, I agree. That this, I heard she's a comedian, and she does, I don't know if she does stand up all over, but she certainly was famous. In fact, she played her role so well, apparently she had a nightmare existence. People couldn't separate her from the character. So, yeah, that's right. She and Melissa Gilbert, who played Laura Ingalls Wilder, were best friends. So here's an interesting fact. I hope this is right. I think it is. But do you remember the show Roseanne? She was kind of emo-ish, that girl. I forgot her name, Gilbert. But I think she's sisters with Melissa Gilbert. That's what I'd heard. I pretty much believe everything I've heard. So don't look for any facts here. I don't know. Okay? Those are two books that are on my to-be-read file. We'll see. Also, The Book Thief, I've had a lot of references from that. And Sarah mentioned that the other day. So that's on my table. But I talked to you a little bit yesterday about this author name. Well, his name is John Dunning, and he has this series called the Cliff Janeway series. And he no longer writes because he had a stroke. But this guy's stuff is awesome. So if you like mysteries and you like books, to me, it's like crack. To be honest, this is an addiction. The Bookman's Promise. This was awesome. I've read everything by this guy that came out with this series. That's just one of them. They look cool. They feel cool. And the other one was The Bookman's Last Fling. Flippin' awesome. Again, I don't know. I thought they were amazing. And then, he had the stroke. So, yada, yada, yada. But I wanted to talk about something a little bit different. We can come back to books. That's cool. Sarah Gilbert. They don't look anything alike. I don't think they look anything alike. So it's, to me, it's still a mystery. And like, how many years are separating those two? It must be like 15 or something radical. So, and then, let's see. I'm reading through some of the contents. some of the comments. Okay. Let's go to music for a second. So here's the story. I'm going to just give you the story. Why not? Who cares, right? So we're just hanging out. Like, literally, if you were at my house, this is the kind of stuff we would just talk about. We would basically just talk about books, faith, family, music. I mean, that's kind of it. Probably farming, probably bulldogs, eating, drinking. There's a lot we would talk about. Maybe beards, curly hair. Okay. So a long time ago, I had asked, I was teaching theology at a university, Franciscan University in Steubenville, which I love, I still love, and I taught there for 4 years in the theology department as an adjunct. It was a grace-filled, beautiful time, wonderful friends, loved it. Okay, so I had an event I had to do, and I could not do the class, so I wanted to have a guest teacher come in, and unlike, you know, elementary school, high school, middle school, I needed somebody who could actually converse with the students about the topic at hand. So right down the road from me was this order, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, and there was a priest there. His name's Father John Larson. The reason I'm bringing this up is I saw that he had watched an earlier episode, and so I wanted to give him a shout out. But Father John came in and he filled this class for me. This had to be now about, I don't know, 10 years ago at least. Maybe a little less. So he filled for me the class. He did the class. And I said to him I wanted to thank him. And so I thought, you know, maybe I could take him to dinner. And so he said to me, I want you to take me to Pittsburgh to go to Jerry's Records. Now, those of you who are record freaks will know exactly what I'm talking about, because Jerry's Records is world-renowned, and it's unbelievable. It is basically a place to have your fix if you are a record addict. And so I knew nothing about this place. The last time I had a record or played records was probably at my mother's house with her turntable. And, you know, it was probably like ABBA or you know, the Beach Boys or whatever. She only had like 3 secular records, and then she had a bunch of this gospel quartet stuff. So my dad had some good records that I played when I was at his house, but, you know, things had advanced. You know, we went from the tape to the CD, and that's what everybody had. So nobody really had a record player anymore. So I'm looking at this guy like, okay, you want me to take you to a record store? I guess that's fine. You know, so I thought, Linda, you know, my wife, come with, let's go. We'll just do this. So we all went, and we basically had a great meal, little Middle Eastern restaurant right by there. And then you're looking at what looks like this dilapidated, almost like just a big cement building with nothing really on the outside. It's kind of sketch. And I'm thinking, you got like, what's going on here? So we went in, and there are these rickety stairs, and you're walking up this narrow area all the way up to the top. And you walk in and you realize this is just a warehouse that's stuffed literally floor to ceiling with every record that seems like it's ever been made. But then you realize, wait a minute, the basement still has records. And then in addition, he has another warehouse where he kind of lives that has all these records that have never come out. I mean, there's millions of them, millions. So I started thinking, oh, this is kind of cool, but I don't have a record player, so why am I going to worry about this? Well, Father John goes off and he starts getting his records. And my goal was, I'll buy him dinner, you know, and then I'll get him whatever he wants from the record store, because He kind of had my back there teaching. So he was so cute too, because he had his little pile, and I, of course, you know, snagged it from him and paid for him. But in the process, all of a sudden I realized maybe I should get a record. So while we were driving there, Linda asked, she said, well, I remember when I was a kid, we had this record that was basically these nuns on the front cover, and it was called like the Singing Nuns. Of course, Father John, who's like literally the Rain Man of records, he knew everything. And he says, I know exactly the record you're talking about. Here's what it's called, and this is where you would go to find it. Turns out Linda finds the record. She brings it over to me. She's all smiled. She's like been transported back in time to when she was a kid. She's got it in hand. Then I realized, okay, well, we should just get some records and buy a record player. So I go over, and they have these used record players that are refurbished, and they had one, and I thought, I'm just gonna do it. So I bought this turntable and these and you know, with the speakers and all the stuff, and I still have it. I'm just like right here, but it started this stupid like obsession for me to go back and try to get all of these records from when I was a kid, and then just listening to the records that I remember listening to on the radio. So I took a few out, just some stuff I was going to show you tonight. This is the thing about people who are collectors, with whether it's books or whether it's records, whatever their collection, their obsession is that there's something about it that is a little bit of a, it's kind of cathartic. It can be kind of medicinal almost. So like, you know, it's different. I have, you know, the little Alexa app, or not the Alexa app, this Alexa device. So I can just tell her to do something for me, right? And play this song, and she spins it up, and there it is. Why do I need records? But I realized something about people who like records is that it's kind of a process, and it takes you somewhere. It can calm you down a little bit. And then in the day, you know, these records would have all this information, pictures of the band, and the insert that the record was in could be really cool with photos. So here's an example. Here's one, Men at Work, right? Who Can It Be Now? Remember that song? Who can it be now? So, here's the insert, right? And it has all the lyrics on the back, and I love this stuff, you know? So I was on this obsession with getting all these records from the time that I was a kid growing up. Now here's the interesting thing is that I'm fascinated with the idea that they put out products, you know, like this, you're hearing it the way that they intended for it to be heard. Like, this is the medium that it was going to come out on, you know? And you can talk about remastering and kind of digital refinement, and I'm cool with that and familiar with that. But the thing is that at some point they say sonically your ear can't actually hear the difference. Now, maybe because I've been in music my whole life, I can hear certain things that my wife thinks I don't hear a difference at all. But I can hear the difference. And so, you know, to me, there's something about kind of this going back. It's like when a person sees a completely, you know, refurbished car that is in pristine, you know, immaculate shape, and it's exactly the way it was when it came out, vintage. There's something about that that's a cool experience. So if you're a car aficionado, then you like the car to respect, you know, the history of where it came from. So for me, in some ways, certain, I don't know, records are like that. So I have a couple like of the Police, some of their early stuff, Synchronicity. If maybe you're a big Police fan, maybe you're not. Here was another one that was cool. Asia. Do you remember Asia? That was awesome. Heat of the Moment. The Heat of the Moment. This is kind of cool, just in light of John Prine, who just recently passed away, you know. The Best of John Prine, and you probably have seen some of his stuff. Obviously he's a classic and a legend. Here's one of my all-time favorites, is the band Styx. It was funny because when I was a kid, we went to a really pretty strong conservative Protestant church, so my mother was not really a big fan of us listening to secular music, so we just didn't really get a chance to watch that listen to that very often. Seemed like she was okay with country, and she was okay with 50s music, whatever. But Blondie, I remember I wanted so bad to get that when The Tide Is High came out. My best friend Eric Evenson had that record, and he had a Cars record, and so we were listening to this, and I wanted so bad to go get that record, and my mom wouldn't let me. And so she ended up bringing home something horrible that I hated. So anyway, Starship. Remember Jefferson Starship? That was pretty. That's pretty good stuff. And Bob Dylan. So here's the thing with Bob Dylan. I didn't really care for him when I was a kid. Listening to him was difficult because I just felt like, dude, can you find the melody? I mean, at all? Like, what are you doing? Like, vocally, what's happening here? It's a complete freaking nightmare. But I saw a special of about Bob Dylan, like on PBS, maybe forever ago. And I remember it just all clicked. It was like, bam, it just fell in place. And I realized, holy cow, yeah, I totally get it now. And so I became a huge fan of Bob Dylan, specifically his early stuff. But this was another thing, and I was just thinking a little bit about this tonight, because with records, and a lot of people don't realize this, but in the old days, when we liked a comedian, like you, if you loved a comedian, you could get a hold of some of their comedy on record. And I have a couple. I'll just show you a couple real quick. One is Steve Martin. And and then this is his classic one, right? It had all the good stuff on there. A Wild and Crazy Guy. I loved comedy tapes, comedy records. Just love that kind of stuff, because to me it was like getting a chance to just sneak a peek at this tapestry of words that create something so funny that you're gasping for breath. So anyway, Nicholas, you say, what fascinates me about records is how the needle moves through the grooves and produces the noise. So you're obviously, you're a fan of the whole medium of it. So this priest friend of mine, this Father John, he actually was at the time obsessed with, he had this little gramophone, like he'd gotten it for his birthday. So he was going out to find these old specific, like records. They're like thick, super thick, like a plate. The thing about it is you would almost go through a needle every record or two. So he was always having to change out that needle because it would, you know, it was just so thick and hard on the needle. I mean, that stuff is fascinating, honestly. But, so I have all of these great, I mean, I have all the Journey stuff and then there's, a couple groups that I really fell in love with because the vocalist was flipping amazing. And so one, for example, was, a guy named Paul Rogers, and Paul Rogers was the vocalist for a group called Bad Company. And Bad Company, man, that guy's voice, that band just did it for me. And then of course, the all-time great, to me, I think the greatest rock and roll singer ever is Freddie Mercury. And so, of course, Queen is just legendary as far as I... And then I was a huge fan of, like, the Scorpions, still am. And it's pretty amazing. And I appreciate the nod towards Scarecrow and Tim and Brett. That was very nice of you. But, yeah. Yeah, it's just what it is. So, I don't know. I don't know if you guys spend a lot of time obsessing about things or liking something along those lines. But it's kind of cool when you meet somebody who's got a passion. Now, I think that there's this line between a passion for something and liking something, and then you might need medication and, you know, a plastic room or a rubber room or something. And so there was this show for a while called My Crazy Obsession, and it was so kind of cool to watch people who were, like, clearly freaking nuts. They were crazy. And I'll never forget it because there was a guy that built a TWA actual first class cabin in his garage. It was awesome. And then he had all of the, like, the Peanuts packaged in that original, like, packaging. And he had the alcoholic drinks. So he had the straws. Like, he literally did everything he could to make that TWA cabin, like, exact. Perfect. And in some ways, I mean, that's pretty cool, actually. But on the other hand, the company went out of business for a reason. So, you know, you might have wanted to pick a plane, you know, airline that was still around. But whatever. Vintage. And then there was this guy who was bringing around a Barbara Eden doll, like a plastic doll. And Barbara Eden was the actress that played I Dream of Jeannie. So can you imagine this guy walking around everywhere with a I Dream of Jeannie doll, like Barbara Eden doll? Like that, I mean, I'm a really tolerant guy and really understanding of people's uniquenesses, but it seems like he needs a doctor. It might seem like he could use a little bit of an intervention. I could be wrong, But it seems like that. That's all I'm saying. Brett, you're my crazy obsession. That's disgusting, but cool. All right, so so another like homestead news. So we've done a little bit on books. We did a little bit on some records and some facial hair and all that good stuff. But so today was kind of a good day. So we went out and we spent some time working. I told myself I'm not really working because it's Sunday and it's Easter. So, but I don't know. I like going out and working and it makes me feel pretty good. So I ended up spending a lot of time cleaning and clearing out the land so we could kind of create a little bit more room. We're going to try to get some cows, maybe one or two, and have this pasture kind of put in place so we can have this little beef start grazing. And so we have a lot of stuff already on the homestead. We're gonna get some pigs. Brad, it looks like you're having an emotional moment right now. Thanks for all the support. So anyway, long and the short of it is we're getting ready for that. But so all this work I did today, I almost was thinking it's quite possible that it was for naught, because tomorrow we're supposed to be getting winds up to 50 to 70 miles an hour. And so I know for a fact there's going to be trees that are going to be falling. I'm going to have to get my chainsaw out and do some work anyway. So I probably should have waited a day, but we'll see. And then a neighbor was going to come by, probably with a mask and gloves or whatever. He just wanted to see if he could look at our wood splitter, and we might watch him from afar as he comes over to try to fix it. So again, I think I mentioned this last night. There are some people that just get it, and that was kind of cool. So he said, I think I can fix your wood splitter. And I thought, praise the Lord, because I can guarantee you this, I cannot. Yeah. All right, so I thought I would end with just, it's going to be short and sweet tonight. You know, it's kind of cool. But I just thought I would end with just a simple little bit of encouragement for you guys. First of all, I want to thank, again, I just want to say thanks to a couple people who have been so kind. Sarah, I saw, you know, last night what you did. That was so generous. Again, so kind. Thank you for supporting and then and just sharing, you know, what I'm doing. Thank you for that. I want to say thanks to, a lot of you guys don't know each other, but I want to say this, is that Brett is a good friend of mine. We're trying something a little bit crazy, so pray for us. As soon as the plague ends, we're going to see if we can get some of what we're doing to be picked up by a reality show. So we have some possibilities, so pray for us. It's really more of a, it's not really a reality show as much as it is kind of a like a documentary of sorts. And so we'll see. So pray for us. Brett's a part of that journey. He's a good friend, and I'm thankful for him. Wayne, thanks for tuning in tonight, and Natalie, Mary, and Nicholas, obviously. Thank you so much, Nicholas. Lilani, thank you. Some of you I'm not as familiar with, but Kelly McLaughlin is a great friend. She's a California friend. Just love her to death. And, of course, Jennifer from South Dakota, so grateful. Jennifer, you really, it was intriguing to me to see that you were going to do some work with mushrooms. And like I said, I'm really fascinated with that. So we have a lot of, I think we probably have a lot of food here on our property. Just, you know, we have some old, you know, apple trees. And usually what we'll do is we'll give some of those to the animals, probably, because they're not really that tended and cared for. But I'm a big fan of, and Linda's really hardcore in this right now, so she's really searching out ways to have a pretty amazing garden, and, you know, we've done some gardening before, but, you know, we have some room to improve, and I just think the idea of finding ways to just have stuff on your land and grow it and use it, that's a big deal. So, but I just wanted to kind of leave you guys with a couple encouraging thoughts and just a note of thanks to all of the people who support us. I'm not really at liberty to disclose this, but I'm just going to say that one of my kids is going to have another baby, and we're so excited. And I had put a post up earlier, and then I was immediately told that I had to take the post down because it wasn't really fully public knowledge yet. But we're crazy grandparents, and we love babies. And so anytime we get any of our kids having children, we're pretty excited about it. So looking forward to I think that'll be our fourth grandkid. So back to books and then I'm done, I promise. Little encouragement for you too. One of the best books I've ever read was this book by Pat Conroy called The Great Santini. It was out of control. It was so good. And he's a legend. He passed away not too long ago, but one of my all-time favorite authors, one of my all-time favorite books. You might know him from The Prince of Tides. That was his book as well. The Lords of Discipline. He does a lot of military kind of placed books. So here's my encouragement to you. Most of you know this about me already, and I don't spend this time usually doing a lot of teaching. I just want it to be fun, but I just want to say this. Today's a big day for all of us who are Christians, who are Catholics. This is a big day for us because maybe unlike other philosophies and ways of life, or even really ultimately other religions, today is a big day because it reminds us that this God that we serve all year long is alive. And I believe that. I believe that firmly. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't do what I do. And I, for a living, I travel around and I just share with people that God loves them just the way they are, even if they're messy, if they struggle, if they're addicted to whatever vice, God still loves. And that's a message that is worth hearing. And I needed to hear it. And I think people that I meet need to hear it. Like, we're not alone, you know? We never were alone. That there's a God that loves us just the way we are. And I don't know. I feel like now more than ever, I need to hear that message, you know? And I think other people need to hear that message, that we're not alone. It can feel like we're alone. Even, you know, even with our family, it can just feel like I feel so disconnected, but God is always with us. He's always there with us. And this is what's amazing is that he has given himself entirely for us because, you know, he wants to be in that kind of a relationship with us that sees us go from here to there. And the ultimate of there is to be with him. And I think that maybe life is about just learning how to let God love us so that we can then love other people. I think that's maybe what it's kind of all about. And so I hope that I can find ways to be a blessing for you and care for you and love you. And I know it seems weird to say that because it's social media. What can we really do? But I think that there's a way that we can really lift each other up. So if you're not a person of prayer and this is not a big deal for you and this is kind of a day like any other day, I just want you to know I'm glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. For me and a lot of the people who are here, who are friends, this is a big day for them. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate your willingness to let God into your life. There's a lot of reasons that we could feel like not maybe. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's the big question. But I think the reality is probably this, is that bad things happen to good people and to bad people. But knowing that God is with you when you go through the difficult times, I think that's the gift, to know that you're not alone. So I just wanted you to know that I'm here. I appreciate you being here, and I know God's with us. So until the day when we can finally see each other, you know, face to face and encourage each other and tell some stories and laugh or whatever, I just want you to know that every night, as much as I can, I'm going to just hang out with you for a little while and just share stories, try to make you laugh, maybe get you thinking, trigger some thoughts for you, and see if we can encourage each other. I'll leave you with this. As I've mentioned the last few nights, God has been very generous with us. We're blessed, and I'm thankful. Obviously, there's a lot of things I could be worried about and panicking about, but I'm choosing not to. I'm just going to keep doing what God's called me to do, and then trust him, and he can help me figure it out. But we did start a thing on a Patreon, which is a place where people can donate monthly. And what I decided was if I did this, I got to figure out how to offer people some exclusive content. So I, for example, owe Sarah some really cool stuff, which I'll send video links to. And I'll also send some stuff, product stuff, and all that good things just for people who decide to support us. And I want to try to build kind of some really cool relationships with people. So we opened this Patreon account and you can monthly subscribe. You don't have to, but you can. I'll do this every night, whether or not you subscribe to anything. So, but the patreon.com/Chris Padgett is simply set up to have different tiers. If you donate a certain amount of money, then you're going to get a bunch of stuff from me. But ultimately, it's not as much about the stuff as it is about just, as full disclosure, it's just helping each other do the mission that we're called to do. So I'm going to do what I'm called to do. I want to encourage you, lift you up, build you up. And so maybe there's something that really would encourage you. And you can make a suggestion to me if you're wanting to make some donations. Hey, I think this would help me the most right now. I'll be glad to bless you in that way. So blah, blah, blah. I think that's it. I was just going to see. Here's, like every night, I'll go back and I will just respond to each of the messages that I can. And then, I don't know. I think that's beautiful though, Jennifer, to know that the gospel touches you so deeply. And, I mean, there's a lot for us to struggle with even emotionally. And to feel sometimes anxiety and concern. We all have it. It just shows up differently. So some people worry about things that other people don't worry about, but that worry is still the same. And so knowing like we're not alone is such a blessing. So anyway, I'm here. Let us know how we can encourage you. So tomorrow I think we're gonna do the County Route Report at noon, if we can. And so maybe we'll see you then. Otherwise, maybe tomorrow night. All right, blessings. Good night.